Now Jeremiah chapter 30 and 31, they go together. They're not separate, but they go hand in hand. As in chapter 30, we have what we call the 70th week of Daniel, or what we call the tribulation period, or the great tribulation. And then in chapter 31, we have the kingdom age. Once Jesus Christ comes back at the second coming, and he begins to establish his kingdom for 1,000 years as he reigns upon the earth. He begins by saying, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speak the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write in a book for yourself all the words that I have spoken to you." Notice the command that is given to Jeremiah to write as a pensman, the things that God is instructing him to write is because they speak of the future to come. I think of Jeremiah not only as a prophet, but as God speaks to us, as those prophecies now have been written. And, you know, there are 500 prophecies that the Lord talked about in his coming. In his first coming, Jesus Christ, out of 500 prophecies, he fulfilled 333 of them already at his first coming. The rest of the prophecies of the 500 are going to be fulfilled at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, when you talk about prophecy or the last things that the scripture talks about, we know that in the 70th week of Daniel, there are actually 70 weeks speak of 490 years, prophetically speaking. And we find that in Daniel chapter 9. But we know for a fact, if we study the Jewish calendar, and if we start with the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, and we follow up through the Old Testament until we get to the New Testament, and we come to the birth of Christ, and then we come to the death of Christ, and then we go beyond the resurrection of Jesus Christ, when Titus in 70 AD came and destroyed the temple, and 1.2 million Jews were killed. Even as prophetically speaking, it was told by Daniel the prophet. We realize that prophetically speaking, 69 weeks already have been fulfilled. On March 14, 445 BC, the prophecies began to be fulfilled. On April the 6th, 32 AD, Jesus Christ entered into Jerusalem riding upon a donkey, just as the prophet Daniel had proclaimed and declared about the first coming of Jesus Christ. And when you talk about prophecy, you also have to understand that not only Jesus Christ predicted his death, but he also predicted his second coming in glory. The first time Jesus Christ came into the world, he came as Redeemer and Savior of the world. The second time he comes, he's not coming as Redeemer or Savior. He's coming as the Judge of the world. He's coming in great wrath, not in great grace, like at the beginning of his first coming. And many times people don't understand that right now, prophetically speaking, if we were to take all of the prophecies that are left over, if we were to take the 70 week of Daniel and reduce the 69 weeks, which would only give us 1 week left, for the last 1900 years, that 1 week has been a mystery. It has not started God's timetable. Now the reason that the last week of Daniel, which he speaks about the 70 week of Daniel, has not really begun, or the clock has not begun to wind down, is because for the last 1900 years, God has been pouring out his grace and his love and his mercy upon the Gentiles, which are you and me. That's you and me. And we have seen many people come to know the Lord. And yet, prophetically speaking, according to the prophecies of Israel, which I'll tell you about it here in a moment, that before the Lord would come again and the 70th week of Daniel would begin, or the last week of Daniel would begin, one of the great signs would be of the last week beginning to wind down would be the regathering of the nation of Israel and their coming back to Palestine and rebuilding Israel. Well, that already has been fulfilled prophetically. It started in May 14, 1948. As God began to bring not only the Jew back to Palestine, but as they got their independence. And then on June 10, 1967, Jesus said, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by the armies, and then he goes on to speak about the time of the Gentiles, that the time of the Gentiles began with Nebuchadnezzar or Babylon coming and taking captive Judah, and that the time of the Gentiles would end once Jerusalem would be liberated. On June 10, 1967, Jerusalem now is back in the hands of the Jews, just as God had proclaimed. So prophetically speaking, when you study prophecy, you would have to say that the next event, prophetically speaking, would be the rapture of the church, would be the regathering of God's people or His bride or His church as He will come to take His bride to be with Himself. Now you say, well, when will that be? It could happen tonight. We've been waiting. And you say, well, what's keeping the Lord from coming for His bride? Well, the Bible says that God has a number of people that need to be saved. And once that number is complete, then the end will come. And to me, it's always interesting when I look at salvations. Because I wonder if there are people here tonight that are going to be saved, and maybe you're the last number in God's count, which will bring the coming of the Lord. That's always interesting to me to watch. That one day, somewhere, whether here at Calvary Chapel or South America or Europe or anywhere, that last sinner, which God knows who he is or who she is, when she comes forth, the number will be complete, and then the Lord will take his bride home. And that could happen at any time. You see, from 1967, June 10th, till this time, we have been living in borrowed time. God's grace. The Lord already should have come. Almost on June 10, 1967, Ezekiel 38 and 39 were almost fulfilled by Russia. But God held them back. Because God has His perfect time. We know that Ezekiel 36 and 37 already have been fulfilled in the regathering of the nation of Israel back as a nation back to Palestine, and how the Jews even today say they're not going to leave Israel again. Yet, we know that all through history, that the reason that the Jew has been persecuted so terribly is because of their rejecting of God. Because of the sin of idolatry way back at the time when they were taken captive by Babylon. That was the last time any Jew ever worshipped an idol. Never again did they ever worship an idol again. But we also understand God's plan for His people. That in gathering the people of God as we see today in the nation of Israel, that Israel is the greatest sign of the coming of the Lord, where this generation will not pass away. Not anything else. The Jew is the key. That the Jews are back in their land. And that they have rebuilt Jerusalem, and they're rebuilding Palestine, and there are no walls of protection, like the Bible says, when they're going to be attacked by the Middle East, they're going to be attacked by the Russian army, whether it be all of the Muslim nations of the world. We don't really know, but we know one thing, that Ezekiel 38 and 39 will be fulfilled. And that is World War III. Now you say, well, do you think we're going to be here for that war? We may be, we may not be here. But I assure you of one thing, that you don't have to fear if we're here. Because even if we are here and we see prophecy being fulfilled, as we see the nations of the world gather against Israel, and we see all these Islamic nations, Russian nation, that are gathering themselves to go against the nation of Israel, yet God, in His mercy and in His grace and in His love for Israel, He will wipe out 5/6 of the Russian army. The Bible says that. They won't need help from the United States of America. God will do it Himself. And the Bible says in Ezekiel 38 and 39 that 5/6 of the Russian army will be wiped out, and there'll be blood everywhere. And it'll probably be through nuclear exchange, because it says that the bodies that died at that time, they're going to take professional barriers to come and put professional barriers to put markers next to the body, and it's going to take about 7 months to bury the bodies because of contamination. And then Israel will take the weapons that the Russian army possess, and they're going to use those weapons for 7 years, which is what? The last 7 years of world history, which means what? That the World War III has to come before the last week of Daniel. It has to come. So the next event in God's calendar is the rapture of the church. And that's what we're waiting for. It could be at any time when the trumpet blows. Every believer that has believed in Jesus Christ and has lived for Jesus Christ will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, with Him forever. And we're going to reign with Him. That's what the Bible teaches. And then when this happens, God is going to gather His people for the last 7 years of world history. Now, the last 7 years of world history is not for the Gentiles. It is what? It is for the Jew. Why? Because for the last 2,000 years, the Jews have rejected Jehovah Yahweh God. And the scripture says in Zechariah that when Jesus Christ comes, they're going to see His nail prints on His hand and on His side and on His feet. And the Jews are going to say to Him, "Who did this to you?" And He will say, "This was done in the house of my friends." Speaking of the Jew. And at that point in time, the Jews will become converted. And they'll receive the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. And so we understand, as we study the scriptures, as we wait patiently looking at scripture being fulfilled, that everything that is happening today, understand one thing, children of the Lord, do not worry. No matter how many gangs or how many riots or how many hurricanes or how many storms or how many earthquakes, God is in control. He's in control. You don't have to move to Wichita or any other part of the world, because a tornado will kill you. Stay put. The Lord is in control. You don't have to worry. One thing that I understand, and it blows me away, is the sovereignty of God, the way God watches over His people. You don't have to panic as God's children and be fearful. Be not afraid, the Bible says. But believe. Get excited. Don't get depressed. Because when you see these things happening, Jesus said what? Look up, because your redemption draw at night. Don't look down. You look down, you'll get dizzy and sick. Look up. Look up, because our redemption draw at night. Lord, is it now? Lord, when are you coming? And that's why He said that He was going to come like a thief in the night, when you least expect it. He says some will be eating, some will be drinking, some will be kicking back. And the Lord is going to come like a thief in the night. Why? Because He's coming for His bride that has been obedient, waiting in submission to the perfect will of God. And then when He comes, when He takes His bride home, let me tell you something, all hell will break loose. You don't want to be here. Seriously, you don't want to be here. All you have to do is start reading from Revelation chapter 6 through chapter 18, and you'll get the picture. What's going to happen? The Bible said that when the church of Jesus Christ is taken out of the world, then God will begin to deal with the Jew. But what will happen is that during this time when the church is taken out, we know for a fact, according to 2 Thessalonians and Matthew 24, 15 and Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, we know for a fact that there is going to be a man that is going to come into the scene, and the Jews already are calling him the Messiah, the Anointed One of God. But we know, according to the Bible, that because they got blinded, they became blind at the first coming of Jesus Christ by rejecting Him, that the second time they receive this Messiah, He's going to be the Antichrist, the false Messiah. And this false Messiah, the Antichrist, is going to rule the world for 7 years, the last week of Daniel. That 7 week of Daniel, the last week, means already prepared by God for the Antichrist and for those people that were left behind after the rapture, those that did not believe in God. And then all hell is going to break loose. Why? Because God will begin to deal with His people. During the first 3.5 years of the 7 years or the 1,260 days, God will allow, according to the book of Revelation, God will allow two prophets to come back. And they will come back. They're called the two olive branches, according to Zechariah chapter 14. But according to Revelation chapter 11, it says that these two prophets will come, and one of them for sure, according to Malachi chapter 3, we know for a fact, excuse me, chapter 4, we know that one of them is going to be Elisha. For he never died. And he is mentioned as one of the prophets that will come before the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he will be one of the two witnesses. The other witness, nobody knows. It could be Enoch. He never died. It could be Moses. It could be anybody else that God wants it to be. He doesn't tell you who it is, but there are going to be two witnesses. During the first 3.5 years, the Bible says in Revelation 11 that these two men, these two prophets, are going to make trouble for the nations of the world, where they're going to be hated by the nations of the world and all of the governments of the world, even the Antichrist. Why? Because the Bible says that they're going to close the heavens and they're going to cease from the rain to come down to the earth. There's going to be great heat storms. The Bible says in the book of Matthew 24 that the sun will become so hot that even in the book of Revelation chapter 6 on, it says that people will hide in the mountains and they will call upon God for God to smite them, to actually kill them, and they'll hide from the presence of the Lord because of this heat that will come as the sun will become so hot, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh will survive. Those days may not go into 24-hour days. They may be shortened because of the torture that God is going to bring in His wrath to this world that does not believe in Him. And during that time, in the first 3.5 years, as they do all these things, the Bible says that will be the first 3.5 years of tribulation, which we call semi-tribulation. At that point in time, the Antichrist will enter the scene. And he'll be a nice guy. He'll come in as a great man, and the world will hail him, and they'll honor him, and they'll worship him, because he will do what nobody else has ever done, only Jesus, and what we've been trying to do for 1900 years, and he will gather all of the nations together, and he will finally bring peace upon the nation of Israel for the first 3.5 years. As they will sit down, and with the leaders of the world, and they will sign a covenant of peace. But during that time, Israel will not only trust the Antichrist, but they'll begin even to look at the Antichrist as the Messiah. And according to Revelation chapter 13, the Antichrist will establish a one world government. The Trilateral Community of Europe, already in existence today. We know that already people are planning for one world monetary system. We know that the world is gathering together as we're breaking all of the nations of the world into sections which can be patrolled by the nations of the world or the UN forces because of all the crime and all of the gang warfare where our own police departments cannot handle it. But yet they're talking about a world army patrolling the nations of the world already. All that is prophetical. God spoke about that. And you see, during this first 3.5 years of world history, it is going to be a time where also, for it has not happened in the last 1900 years, the Jews will begin finally to build their third temple. There in the mount, which we call the Mount of Calvary, which is higher than the other place. But there where Abraham took his son, and where we see the Rock of Omar or the Mosque of Omar today in front by the East Gate, we see that even today over there in that place where even the Islamic temple, the second most holy place concerning to Mecca in Jerusalem, where the people from Islam come to worship every year, we know that next to it, the third temple will be built. And this is the time where in 2 Thessalonians and Matthew 24:15, where the Antichrist, after 3.5 years of being a good guy, will come to the Jews and he will say, "I am the Messiah, worship me." And the Jews will turn against the Antichrist. And when the Antichrist sees that the Jews' eyes have been opened, and that they rebel against the Antichrist, the scripture says this, and you have to read Revelations chapter 12, the woman and the child. It says that Israel, which is the woman, and the child is Jesus Christ, what will happen is that the Antichrist, according to Zechariah between chapter 12 and 14, it says that the Antichrist will pursue the woman or will pursue Israel as they're fleeing away from the Antichrist and they're heading over to Jordan, a place already prepared by God. I've been there, which is called the city of Petra or the city of Rock. A place where there's only one way in and one way out. And it's only 12 foot in width as you go in and you can't come out. You have to go by mule or by horseback or by camel. And God has prepared a place for in these places, if you walk into the city of Petra, you walk in and there are actually rooms where you can sit 10 to 20,000 people in one room. And God has said that God's people are going to be there and they're going to be secured by God. But before that happens, as they're making their exodus away from Jerusalem, remember they said they're never going to be scattered again? One more time. The Antichrist will scatter them. And as they're making the way over to the city of Petra, the Antichrist will raise up a great army and will pursue the woman, Israel. And Israel will lose 2/3 of their people and only 1/3 will survive by God's grace. Once again, Satan will kill 2/3 of the Jewish people. The Holocaust was tremendous, but this will be greater than the Holocaust, than the Nazis or Hitler did. At this point in time, when the 1/3 of the Jewish people open their eyes and they finally make it in safety to the city of Petra, because God will create a great earthquake and will actually swallow up his army and will help them. Once they get to the city of Petra, God will close the doors and he will keep them there for the last 3.5 years. Why? Because those last 3.5 years will be hell on earth. God protects his people like he did in Egypt. And what he will do during that time is Revelations chapter 6 through 18 will come to a complete fulfillment right before the second coming of Jesus Christ, where the sun will not give its light. The sun will go into a supernova because the sun is a star and it will burn out and there'll be darkness in the earth. And the Bible says that the stars of the heavens will fall upon the earth, and there's going to be a star that will fall from the heavens and it's called Wormwood. And what it will do, which means bitterness, it will hit every water deposit of the earth, every fresh water deposit of the earth, and the star will fall upon the waters of the earth, and the waters will turn from sweetness to bitterness, where men will not be able to drink the water. That's what the scripture says. And during this time, the Bible says that for 5 months, men will try to kill themselves and God will take away death from them. Which means what? That people, they will try to commit suicide and they take a gun and you put it to your head and you pull the trigger, you'll blow your head, but your spirit will not depart from your body. For 5 months, the Bible says. That's how much torment there's going to be. Now, the reason for that is because why? They rejected the love and the grace and the mercy of God. What is it? It's the wrath of God. The wrath of God coming upon a world that did not believe in God. But you see, the Jews are the key. Because during that last 3.5 years also, you have to read on in chapter 16 of Revelation. 200,000 men will come from the east, the Orientals. We don't know if it's going to be the armies of Islam coming against the world nations to fight against them. But we know one thing, that they're going to cross over the Euphrates River, which will be dried up, which already they've built a dam already there. And it could be dried up at any point in time. But also, during that time, there is going to be great demon activity in the world like never before, where demons will be led out of the Euphrates River and they'll come out. And the Bible says they have hair like women, they have faces like lions, and they have tails like scorpions. And they'll come out and they will sting men for 5 months. They will not hurt the trees or the grass, but they will hurt men and sting them for 5 to 6 months. It's heavy stuff. And it's all in the Bible. God already has told us, but you see, that's not for the church. It's for those that are left behind. Now, you say, well, what happens if you're left behind? Well, let me give you a survivor kit. If one morning you wake up and you hear on the news that thousands and millions of people have disappeared and they tell you that UFOs have come, don't believe it. Because what's happened is Jesus Christ has come for his bride. And if you are left behind, do me a favor, please. Please don't take the mark of the beast. Be beheaded. There is only one way out if you stay behind, and if you miss the rapture of the church, you have to be beheaded. You have to be killed. You have to become a martyr. Another thing that I see about that particular time when the Lord does not take those people is that there are going to be survivors, because the Bible says that during that time, those people that were left behind and heard the gospel and were backsliders, they're going to preach the gospel and people are going to be saved, but people are going to be killed. Why? Because the Antichrist will bring a universal identification, the number 666. You won't be able to buy, to eat, to sell, to go to school, to work, to do anything unless you have the mark of the beast. And if you don't, then you have to give up your head. Because you're a believer. And if you are a believer, the Bible says that during that time, there is going to be a multitude of martyrs that will enter into the kingdom of God because they gave up their life for the kingdom of God. There's going to be hundreds and millions of people in the tribulation period that will die. And there'll also be survivors. They'll live the whole 7 years. I wouldn't want to live the whole 7 years. You'll get to see the whole show. You know, you'll get to see the whole book of Revelation fulfilled. But what's interesting about that is that those people that are left behind were people that did not believe. Now remember, in God's time of grace, which is today, what do we have? We have the Holy Spirit. During that time, the Holy Spirit will not be here for the Gentiles. It will only be here for the Jews. Which means what? You have to believe even as in Old Testament times, by real faith. You won't be able to be convicted by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will be removed with the church. That's what the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit will not be taken out of the world, but the Holy Spirit will be poured upon the nation of Israel, and their eyes will be opened as God begins to convict them through the Holy Spirit. So there's a lot of things that are going to happen. Now Jeremiah speaks again. Now you have the picture. Verse 3. For behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, that I will bring back from the captivity my people Israel and Judah. Now remember, Israel was taken by who? By Assyria. And Judah was taken by who? By Babylonia. So they're coming back. God's going to gather them together again. This is speaking of the future. Saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. You see, God's fulfillment already has come to pass. Now, these are the words that the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turned pale? What is he talking about? He's talking about the tribulation period. He's talking about the 70th week of Daniel. What shall I tell you in the next verse? Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it, and it is a time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Who's that? The Jews, not the Gentiles. Those people that are left behind are going to have to be beheaded. The Jew will be saved because it is the time of Israel for the last 7 years, because the Gentiles have had 1900 years. That's the difference. Then he says, for it shall come to pass in that day, the day of tribulation, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from your neck, and I will burst your bond. Foreigners shall no more enslave you. Notice, God's going to set them free. People that hate the Jews, that don't like Israel, that don't like the Jew, God will take care of those people, because Israel is actually God's, apple of his eye, he says. And then he says, and I will burst your bonds. Foreigners shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God. Who's that? That's Israel. When they're going to serve the Lord their God in the kingdom age. For 1,000 years, man, they're going to reign with Jesus Christ. And David, their king, whom I will raise up for them. Who is this King David? Not David from old. This is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will reign with them. Jesus Christ will come again, and he will sit in the throne of David, and he will proclaim himself to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will reign with a rod of iron for 1,000 years. Why? Because the moment the second coming comes, we the church come with Jesus Christ at the second coming to the Mount of Olives. In Zechariah chapter 14 talks about that. As he sticks his right foot on the Mount of Olives, and it cleaves to the left and to the right. And there's a great valley that goes down over to the Dead Sea. And there's a stream of water that comes out of the mountain. And it goes down to the Dead Sea, and the dead water seas become healed. And there become great fishery for 1,000 years into the reign of Jesus Christ, the kingdom age. All this is in the book of Zechariah. And Isaiah talks about it, chapter 60 to 66. Where there will be babies, they will live 100-year-old babies, and then they'll die in the kingdom age. Why? Because when the second coming of Christ comes, he's going to, first of all, according to Daniel chapter 12, and also Matthew 25, he's going to have a 45-day judgment with the nations of the world. For what? When he comes, he's going to separate the goats from the sheep. He's going to make sure that those that did not believe in Jesus Christ and those who took the mark of the beast will never enter the kingdom age. Only those that survived and didn't take the mark of the beast, Jew and Gentile, they will go into the kingdom age, and they will live in their flesh, in their body of flesh, for 1,000 years, and they will repopulate the earth for 1,000 years. And Satan, at that point in time, will be cast into the bottomless pit, the abuso, and he will have a chain on his leg, and he'll be tied up for 1,000 years while Christ reigns. And there won't be any more wars. That's it. The Bible says that the little children will play with serpents, and they'll even play with lions. As God will take away that curse that was given to us by Adam through sin. And those people that are living here in the flesh, they will be here, and they will have to go to Jerusalem once a year. And if they don't go to worship once a year, there will be no rain upon their nations. God desires that. He desires worship even in the kingdom age. Now the church will have their new bodies, and we will reign with Jesus Christ, and we will be reigning over 5, and some over 10, and some over 1, and some over 2 cities, and we will reign with Jesus Christ. because we believe by faith during the kingdom age. You don't have this ugly body anymore. It's gone. It's history. No more death. You'll be like Jesus Christ. I love that. You won't be hungry. No more holy calories. And then he says in verse 10, "Therefore, do not fear, O my servant Jacob," speaking of Israel, "saith the Lord. Don't be afraid, nor be dismayed, O Israel, for behold, I will save you from afar." Notice God's promise to them. I will save you. Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. What is it? Israel's past, present, and future. God hasn't given up Israel. He loves Israel, and he's going to work with Israel. And then he says, "In your seed from the land of their captivity, they will return. Jacob shall return. They have rest and be quiet. And no one shall make him afraid anymore. For I am with you, saith the Lord, to save you." Notice the comfort he brings to Israel. "Though I make a full end of all the nations where I have scattered you, yet I will not make a complete end of you, but I will correct you in justice, and I will not let you go altogether unpunished." Whoever God loves, whoever are his children, God does what? He doesn't punish you. He chastens you in his love because he loves you. If you're not a child of God, then he will punish you. But if you're a child of God, God never punishes you. He chastens you. There's a difference. Punishment is to those that don't believe in God. Chastening is to correct you because he does it in love. Where punishment comes in the anger and the wrath of God as you're cast away from God. And so God speaks of his people, how he's going to chasten them. Verse 12, "For thus saith the Lord, your afflictions are incurable, your wound is severe." Notice here that they would have to go through judgment. Even now they're going through judgment. All these years they've gone through judgment because of what they did. They rejected the Messiah, the anointed one of God. So he says, you're going to go through this whole thing. "There is no one to plead your cause." Notice there's no intercessor. Man, how we need today, like the book of Ezekiel chapter 22 says, how we need in the midst of God's judgment coming, how we need someone to stand in the gap and intercede. We need intercessors today. We need intercessors for the church. We need intercessors for each one of our lives, men, to be praying for us, because Satan, the enemy, is against us. And here God says, the reason you're getting judged is because nobody was intercessing for you. And yet, what does the psalm say? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for the Jew. Pray for God's people. "That you may be bound up and that you have no healing medicines. All your lovers have forgotten you. They do not seek you. For I have wounded you with a wound of an enemy and with the chastisement of a cruel one for the multitude of your iniquities or your sins, because your sins have increased. Why do you cry about your affliction? Your sorrow is incurable. Because of the multitude of your sins, because of your sins have increased, I have done these things to you." Notice the reason of God's judgment upon Israel. Why they have been chastened. Not that God hates them. He loves them. And he's used what? He used in Old Testament times, he used the Egyptians to afflict them. He used the Assyrians. And he used the Babylonians. And then he used what? The Medes and the Persians came. And then the Grecians. And then the Romans. Historically speaking, God has always used those people to chastise his people. Because they wouldn't believe. Because of their sin. "Therefore, because of this," verse 16, "all those who devour you shall be devoured too." God says, okay, these nations I have used, God has used evil for good, but in return, I will destroy them. You see, God turns against them. "Therefore, all those who devour you shall be devoured, and all your adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. Those who plunder you shall become plunder. And all who prey upon you, I will make a prey." Notice here God's promise for the future now. For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds, saith the Lord, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, and no one seeks her. That's what we hear today. Oh, Israel, who wants to follow the Jew? I love the Jew. I love Israel, man. I pray for Israel. If there was any other country that I could live, it would be not America, it would be Israel. Because Israel and the people of Israel are God's people. They're His people. And then he goes on. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring back the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places. The city shall be built upon its own mount, and the palace shall remain according to its own plan. And then out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of those who make merry, and I will multiply them, and they shall not diminish, and I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Isn't that neat? God already has made the promise. He's going to do it. And their children also shall be as before, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all who oppress them. Be careful. And I always tell this to people. We pray that the United States government will never turn against Israel, because if they do, we're history. We're history. God says, man, whoever oppresses my people, I'll deal with them personally. So we need to pray for the Jew. We need to pray for Israel. Their nobles shall be from among them. Their governors shall come from their midst. Then I will cause them to draw near. And he shall approach me. For who is this who's pledged his heart to approach me, saith the Lord. And then look at God's declaration here. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. What a blessing that is. Not only to Israel people, to you too. To me too. Do you know that God's presence is ever before us? When you feel depressed and you feel lonely, the Lord is close by, but Satan makes you feel like the Lord has departed. When His presence surrounds us constantly, He's ever before me. At times when I feel oppressed or depressed and I'm going to a time of loneliness, it's because God is trying to teach me to walk by faith, to trust Him. We don't live by feeling, we live by faith. And sometimes when God speaks to us, and sometimes when He doesn't speak to us, why doesn't He speak to me? Because He wants me to seek Him with all of my heart. And He wants me to hear Him when He speaks. Because sometimes when He speaks to me all the time, I become like a spoiled little child. I get used to it. And I begin to take it for granted. So I stop praying and I stop reading and I start doing what? I start going my own way instead of God's way. So God creates situations and problems to draw us to Himself. I love that. The way God works. Because He loves us so much. He's not willing that any should perish. You shall be my people and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes forth with fury. Again, notice, not the church, but those people that lived during that time. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goes before with fury. He's angry. And a continuing whirlwind, and it will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not return until He has done it. Oh, the judgment of God to the wicked is going to be terrible. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15, he says that whoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire, where there's burning and there's torment and there's groaning, and all five senses are operating for eternity. If you want to read something secular, read Dante's Inferno. It'll blow you away. He was a non-believer and he wrote a novel on hell, the stages of hell. Which we don't know if they're literal or not, but it's a story. But man, he scares you to death. Especially when you read the scriptures. And it's heavy because the wicked think they're going to get away with what they're doing. They're not. Imagine the responsibility, the accountability that the wicked man has, especially that wicked man that has heard but has not returned or repented on the day of judgment. Too much is given, much more is required. Think of the judgment of God on that day when he separates the goats from the sheep and he casts them away for eternity. Heavy. Right now God is letting what? Letting the wheat grow among the weeds. But one day he's going to come with his angels and he's going to separate the weed from the weeds. And then the true will be put to the right hand, and those that are false will be thrown into the fire. That's what God said. Woe unto the wicked. And yet, God gives opportunity to the wicked all day long to repent every day until you die. You cannot ever say, God never gave me a chance. God always gives you a chance. Always. Always, always gives you a chance one way or another to repent. And that's why it's important, man, to walk every day abiding in Jesus Christ every day. Why? Because you don't know if you're going to be here another day. Only God knows. Your days are numbered. And he already knows the day and the hour and the time when you're going to die. He already knows that because he's all-knowing God. And sometimes as God's people, we act like we have forever to live here. And sometimes we live lives not in obedience to God, but we take advantage of the grace of God and we do what we want to do, and it's by the grace of God that he didn't wipe you out because he loves you. That's the God that we serve, because he loves you. And so when you take God's grace, use it lawfully. Don't take advantage of it. Live a life of submission and obedience to God, and then God's blessings will come upon you. And he will pour his blessings like you've never seen before. Not so on the wicked, but so in the righteous. And who are the righteous? Those that have believed by faith in Jesus Christ. They become righteous because of Christ. And then until he has performed the intents of his heart. You notice what he says. God is going to judge the world according to his heart. When he's going to accomplish his purposes. And then check this out. And then in the later days, you will consider it. Notice, you're going to consider this that is going to happen. And what's that? He's going to now get into the kingdom age. And we'll get into the kingdom age next week. Father, we come before you, Lord, to thank you so much for your grace and for your love and for your mercy. And Lord, for all the things that you have given to us, Lord. And Lord, we pray through your power of your Holy Spirit and through the work of thy Holy Spirit even here tonight, Lord, among us, Lord. Lord, that if there's any one of us that are going astray, Lord, Father, we pray tonight that you bring us back, Lord.